One of my favorite prayer passages is in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. We don't often think about that as a prayer text, but the idea that our prayers become sacrifices to God, that these are the things that we offer from our heart to him. And that's what we want to do this morning. Prayer, if it already wasn't important to you, probably became more valuable over the last 10 months. With all of the different anxieties and things that we have gone through as a people, as a world, and as a country, and even as a congregation through this pandemic time of different challenges, I think most of us have turned to God in prayer perhaps more than ever before. We want to continue that idea today. We will have five different prayers this morning, and each of the individuals who are leading those prayers have been asked if they would like to, not required, to share a few thoughts. And we will begin with a prayer that is devoted to praise offered to God, led by one of our shepherds, Daryl Baker.
As most of you may know, Barbara and I recently celebrated our 55th wedding anniversary. And throughout that time, God has blessed us immensely. When we were first married, we struggled financially. Air Force pay was not hardly anything. And when we moved to Houston, we had times where before a paycheck would arrive, we would be down to our last pennies. And God blessed us with a check just when we needed it. Either that or a neighbor, a kind neighbor, would invite us over. So this is in praise to God today, what I wanted to say. And I've got some verses that I want to read. And they're short verses, but all of them are praise to God. Psalm 104:33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. And Psalm 115:1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And then Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And then lastly, I will read the same verse that Terry read, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, may your name be praised among all men through all eternity. Father, we're so blessed and we praise you for the things that you have blessed us with down through this life that we have. We know that my family has been blessed, your family has been blessed, this church has been blessed, our country has been blessed, and we praise you for all of that. We are grateful for the world that we live in, and as we look outside and see the beauty of the barren trees that will soon be blooming, and vegetation will burst forth in renewal of this earth, we stand in awe. Father, we are so blessed to have the things that we have. We have our comfortable homes. We have clothing on our backs. We have an abundance of food. We have each other. But more than that, Father, we're blessed with spiritual blessings. We praise you for the gift of your Son, who came to this earth and offered us redemption of sin because of our sins we were separated from you. But because of that death, that burial and resurrection, we can be reconciled to you once again and spend an eternity in heaven instead of an eternity in darkness. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us through wisdom and knowledge when we ask you for it. It's our prayer this morning, Father, that as long as we live, everything that we say and that we do will bring honor and glory to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
My prayer today will be addressing the needs of our country at this time. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, a passage that I know you have seen mentioned quite often over the last year. First of all then, this is chapter 2, verse 1. First of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher, an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Peter wrote something similar in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 13 through 17. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. For several years, those passages have been on my mind in regards to our country. And they especially come to mind about every 4 years, to remind me that regardless of outcomes, what my responsibilities are, to pray for those who lead us. And by the way, there's no qualifiers for that, whether I agree with everything they do or not. To honor them and even subject ourselves to them. And again, there's no qualifiers, although we could add the qualifier from Acts 5, that in the instances where they ask us to do things that would disobey God, that would be an exception. But we are also told to pray that we can lead a quiet, peaceful, and godly life. What's interesting to me is what Peter says there that we read later. What he says about this is he says when we choose to behave this way with our leaders, to honor them and subject ourselves to them, and pray for them, that it silences the ignorance of foolish people. Several months ago, that stuck out to me because I realized in the past there's been times I've thought that my words could silence the ignorant, foolish people. That my witty memes or logical debates through social media or other means could be what would silence ignorance. Peter says, no, it's behavior that does that. By the way, that's the same thing he says in the next chapter to wives with unbelieving husbands. That if they have the right behavior, they can teach their unbelieving husbands. I think of Daniel in regards to this, by the way, who is taken captive as a stranger in a foreign land, an exile. And I think of that because Peter describes us here in chapter 2, right before this section, as strangers and exiles. And you remember in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel goes and the king has provided provisions, and Daniel refuses to participate. In fact, he doesn't really refuse, he makes a request of those above him to let him eat things that are vegetables and other items. In fact, verse 8, it says he resolves that he would not defile himself. And we don't know exactly what that was. And it doesn't matter, except for Daniel made a resolution. But what Daniel does in return is he seeks a way to live quiet, peacefully, and godly. He asks permission to eat something different, and he subjects himself to that decision, and God blesses him. If you remember at the end of that section, we find there that he and his three friends were greater and more noble than the other men that had been taken. The lesson there for us today, I think, is to submit ourselves in every way that we can, just like Daniel did, and live peacefully and quiet and godly. There's one more thing I want to remind us of. We have a king, and he does not live at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm afraid sometimes we get so consumed with our culture and world that we begin to make the same mistake that Israel did when they went to Samuel and said, "Give us a king so we can be like everybody else." We talk about how the word church means to be called out. We've been called out of this world to be disciples, to be followers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And regardless of what happens culturally, politically, socially around me, he's my king. And we serve him first, and that doesn't lessen our responsibility to our neighbor or to our country. But as we move forward, I think it's important. By the way, regardless of whether you feel like what you wanted to happen a few weeks ago happened or not, to pray for our leaders, to honor the king, and to pray that God will allow us to live quiet, peaceful, and godly lives. Let's pray together. Our amazing God, we truly are in awe of you for all that you have done, for the way that you provide for us in so many ways. And we are so grateful that you have looked down upon us and shown us such tremendous favor and grace, for we are unworthy. Father, it is hard for us to live in this world and not be consumed with the things of this world. And it is hard for us, it is difficult for us to not get so focused on the things around us that go on in our country. We are no doubt surrounded by immorality and darkness. Even from our leaders, we see behavior that is not behavior we want to imitate or we want our children to imitate. We see things that are said, laws that are made, things that are practiced, which we look at and we realize they do not measure up to what you want your people to be like. And so, Father, we pray for those around us, our country, and especially our leaders. And we pray for them that in some way, if they're not right with you, that you would touch their lives, maybe through one of us, to help show them the good news about Jesus and the need to change. But we also thank you for our leaders, Father, for we know that you have given them to us, that they are appointed by you. And while we do not always realize what is going on or even the reasons behind some things, we are grateful that we have those who lead above us to protect us, to judge the bad, and to praise the good, as your scriptures say. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless our country with leaders, and we pray that you would help those leaders to lead in a way that is more in line with the things you would have them to do. But Father, we also realize that even if that does not happen, that our request is as simple as to allow us to live a peaceful, quiet, godly life, a life where we can serve you without fear, a life where we can teach others about you without fear, a life where we can practice justice even in the face of injustice and glorify you without fear. Father, there are many that are anxious that the days may be upon us where those things may not be possible. We plead with you that you would make those things remain. But we also ask you that if those days do come, that you would create in us courage and boldness to stand regardless. Father, we have a king that you sent to die for us, who offered his life as an ultimate sacrifice. We are so grateful to be his loyal subjects. We are thankful to be able to pattern our life after Jesus. And we realize that we often fail at that. And we ask that you help us to do better, to turn our hearts and our lives over to him and to allow him to rule over us in every way. And to realize, Father, that when we allow the King to have full dominion and power over our hearts, that in turn it creates in us the kind of people who can truly change the world around us, who have a light that shines so brightly it cannot be ignored. And that is our final part of this prayer, Father, to use us to change the country we love. Use us to change the people around us and the leaders above us. Help us to be the ones who are a blessing to our country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to be praying for our neighbors, our neighborhoods, the communities here in Chelsea, surrounding Chelsea, the people we might call the locals, the warm bodies you might run into today, tomorrow, the people I see at Publix, the people I run into up 280 on Lowe's, hop over to Alabaster on the soccer fields, those kind of people that I see every now and then. I'm going to read a verse before I pray. I don't want to put limitations on who you might be thinking about in your hearts when we think about our neighbors, but it's kind of who I was thinking about, the warm bodies that I might run into today. Enter by the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, my King. The abundance I see in this land all around me is incredible. Each and every day I see how much you've given us, how much riches we have. You meet our needs times 10, and the riches keep coming. We have so much, God. You have given us so much, not just the people here, but all the communities in this area, all of our neighbors. Thank you, God, for giving us so much. On the outside, God, we look like we are doing great. But your word paints a different picture in my heart. That a lot of these people close to us, close around us, meet that wide gate, meet that destruction. And God, we're concerned of the people around us. We're concerned about their souls, God. We know that's what you want. And your will builds a care in us for their souls. God, we pray that the people in our community see themselves as a child of God. That they see that they were created in your image. And those two simple points is I'm a child of God and I was created in his image impacts them in a way that they live different, that they live life the difficult way, the narrow gate way, your way, Christ's way. God, we know that if there's a spark here in this area, that if there's a lot of souls turning against the world and turning toward you, it's not because you made them. It's because your people are doing your work. And we know that's on us and other followers of you. Give us strength. Give us courage. Give us seasoned speech to talk to our communities, to talk to our neighbors, to share what you've done for us, to share your love, and just to be an example of Christ each and every day. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
I'm going to be praying in just a moment for our members here and the specific needs for each one of you that I'm aware of. Before I do that, I wanted to make sure that we set the expectations. Why do we pray? Why is it that we offer up these prayers to God? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and form, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, 10. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 40, 23. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes before you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, 6. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Psalm 29, 11. But they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31. In the Lord we find safety. He is our strength, our joy. He holds us up. He is always with us. He converts our weakness to strength. He guards us against the evil one. He provides peace. He renews us and helps us to keep going when we feel that we can't. He will help us today. He will help us for eternity. Who else does that but our God? Let us pray. Dear God, we are very grateful for the things that you have blessed us with. You have answered our prayers so many numerous times that they are without measure, without count. You have always come through for us and taken care of us, and we appreciate that so much, dear Lord. We're thankful for Carter Kendrick's surgery, successful surgery, and her healing. We're thankful for my dad and his improvement in health from COVID and pneumonia. We're thankful for Tiffany Vick, who's a friend of Crystal's, that she's improving. We're thankful for the improvements of Shelby Gerald and Michael Duckworth, who is Phyllis's nephew. And we're grateful for those who you have answered those prayers for. There are several that we want to offer up prayers for and requests that need you, that need your help, that need your support and your peace and your comfort and your guidance and your love. And we pray, dear Lord, that you use each one of us to open that up to those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for Sister Pat Wyatt. She's struggling this time at the loss of her life mate and Bill. And we pray that you will give her peace and comfort and strength through this difficult time. There are many who are struggling with ailments and some that who are not able to be here with us. And we pray for each one of them. We pray for Jane Parker and Linda Taylor, Rita Vincent, for Deward Bird, for James's parents, Gary and Judy Steele. We pray for Chris Snow, who is Dawn's mother, who's struggling. We pray for Bobby Chandler, who's with us today, and we're so thankful for that. And Eleanor Pruitt, who is with us as well, and we're so grateful for that. For Lane, we pray for her as well. And Jeanette, we pray for Ralph Scott, who's Karen Smith's father. We pray that you will be with each one of these and bless them. With Barbara Baker, Virginia Flowers, who's Carrie Pena's mother, for Vince and Martha Decker, for Linda Justice, for Betty and Jean Alamel, for Nancy Lindsay, for Jeanette Francis, for Jerry Gott, for Jean and Betty Alamel, for Tom and Donis Cox, and we pray also for Jill Barron, their daughter. And we pray that others who are among us who are struggling with health issues, we pray that you will be with them and bless them. We pray for Phyllis Hamilton's mother, Doris. Doris is 92, and Phyllis and her siblings face a difficult decision about her long-term health care. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will help them to make that decision. She's having heart problems, and if she goes on, she won't have a very long life. She can have a surgery. Success rate is high, but there is risk, so they're struggling with that decision. We pray that you'll make their path forward clear. We pray for Charlotte Staggs, who's Linda's Kenwright's cousin, and Greg Causey, her brother-in-law. We pray for Maureen Byers, our sister, who's been going through cancer and treatment, and for her continued healing. We pray for Rich Schmidt, Gary Hamilton's brother-in-law. And so we help him and his cancer. We pray for Marcia Sarton, Megan's Junkin's sister. And we pray that you will bless her through her treatments and healing. Eddie Nestor, Carol Polk's cousin, and his two small children and wife. We pray for Rick Rogers, Rob's dad, and we pray that you will grant him healing. And Kaylin Packard, who is a family member of Jeanette, and we pray that you will bless each of them with health. We pray for others who need your help, for the Angel family, that you will be with them and bless them through their caregiving and challenging times, and all of those who are caregivers with ailing loved ones. We pray that you will give them strength and comfort in knowing that they are doing what is right and what is right in the sight of the Lord. We offer up the same words that are mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and verses 9, that says, that we be as the lively stones Peter tells us to be, being built up as a spiritual house, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ, that we be God's royal priesthood and holy nation, that none of our church or physical families get the COVID virus, and we pray that God uses each one of us as his servants. We pray, dear Lord, that we take the lessons from this past year on trusting in you, and that they help us to lift us up, and that we work together and to bring glory to you by influencing others to show his hope and promise and comforting all those who have experienced such great loss. We pray, dear Lord, especially for all of those who at our time that are in our number, that are watching online, that are outside and inside. We pray for fathers and mothers. We pray for widows and widowers. We pray for children and grandmothers and grandfathers. We pray for husbands and wives, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, neighbors, friends, strangers, and our enemies, and the opportunity to show the world how mighty you are. Praise, glory, and honor be to you in your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What I'll be speaking on this morning and praying about is our mission. In Micah, the 6th chapter, verse 8, God says through the prophet Micah, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That word kindness is the Jewish word chesed, for God's loving kindness, is translated mercy. In the New Testament, it's his steadfast love for us, but he's saying that what our responsibility is to do justice and show steadfast love toward him and toward others, and to walk humbly. You know, I love expository preaching, but when I read the sermons of Jesus, I read the sermons of Paul, Stephen, they don't do expository preaching, which is interesting to me. So this is not going to be expository preaching either. It's going to be a story. It's a land far away. We'll call this land Splendor. Just a word I came up with at that point. But the interesting thing about this land was about every fifth or sixth child was born with no hair. No disrespect for all of us older folks and follicularly challenged folks. But every fifth or sixth child was born with no hair. And those living in the land of splendor said, that doesn't represent splendor. We have fine houses. We have fine church buildings. We wear glorious clothing. And we have luxurious hair. Put them away. But what about their schooling? They can come up with their own. Well, where will they worship? They can have their own. How will they know God? Let them figure it out. Well, what about jobs if we're going to put them out? Well, give them the worst jobs in the land of splendor. The wastewater plant, garbage removal. We'll give them those jobs because where we live, we're privileged. So we'll deny them any of those blessings that we have. Now you're sitting there going, how could a people act like this? We did. Our parents did. Our grandparents did. That's our heritage. We've done that. We go, well, we don't believe that way anymore. And that's great. But there's a whole host of people living in this country who don't ever hear about Jesus unless somebody goes to them. There's a whole host of people hurting and are still being treated with injustice, who don't know exactly where their next meal is coming from. When God talked to his people in Israel and said to show kindness and mercy and humility, he had a backdrop of how that would look. So he sent his son. His son was born into a poor family, lived in a nondescript town, a no-name town, a town where you lost you lost any sort of pride because of where you lived. He lived in Nazareth. And then on the cross, he was even stripped of his clothing. After he was stripped of any civil rights or any sort of justice whatsoever. And our King came and did that for us so that we would learn to walk in humility and not to treat others that way. Jesus had a sense of mission very early in life. He said, I must be about my Father's business at the age of 12. Paul was very focused. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I was having a conversation with Christians earlier this week. Oh, not this week. This is Sunday. Last week. And they said, we live in the Bible Belt. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. That sounds to me like the same kind of message that the Israelites said about Goliath. He's too big. We can't beat him. Our God's too small to win against that. Only one man said, that's not right. So, this sure sounds like a browbeating, and it applies to me. No matter how much time that I've spent later in life reaching out to others, there's always more that I could do to look like my Savior in terms of showing justice, of sharing his love and kindness with others. There's always more. And it's always him that gives the blessing and the increase. And I think that's where we stumble. We believe that it's on us. And God said he would be with us. And I never served in the military. The closest I ever came was working at UPS, but it was run like the military. And we had a mission, and we had an esprit de corps, and we would sing as a group at 3 o'clock in the morning while we were unloading trucks and loading trucks, and just shout for joy at the top of our lungs because we all had the same mission. And the mission was get all these packages in these trucks so those folks can get their stuff. That's a pretty small mission, isn't it? In the scheme of things, God gave us a greater mission. God gave us a mission of changing the world and changing it one person at a time. And the only way that's going to happen is I got to change me. I've got to change my heart so that I look at others and I don't look at them like those folks in the Land of Splendor looked at folks. Everybody is God's child and deserves to hear his message. And if my heart is where it needs to be, my life's going to be about that. And the man who has no coat, and I have two, he gets my coat. That's who we are. That's who God's people is. If we had done that in the 50s, in the 60s, imagine what our country would look like today if we'd have shown justice and kindness and mercy. But we didn't. We're living with the fruit of that. And I'm not trying to indict anybody here, but I do not want to go before God in judgment and God say, you know that person that lived down the road from you and you knew him and you knew he didn't know me? Why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you reach out? I know this has been mostly uplifting, so we're gonna end with prayer. God will be with us if we choose that path to share his name with everyone that he gives us the opportunity to do it. And he will deliver the increase. And it's not on you. It's not on Chris. It's not on Landry. It's not on Joe. God will deliver the increase. It's just share my love with others. Share it. And don't be ashamed of me when you do that. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, you told us through your Son Jesus, as we walk this earth, as we make disciples of other nations, that you will be with us. Father, you told us that in looking like the Samaritan on the road, that we would be looking like your Son, and we'd be sharing his message of love and hope. Father, you told us that your word's powerful, and it will not return to you void. Father, help us to trust your words to such a level that they become who we are, that we share your message no matter where we're at, and that we share our lives and that we share our goods with those who have need. And help us be about the mission of being your people. Father, we can't undo the past. Father, help us not to live in guilt for the past, but help us to learn from the past. Help us to learn that it's not about stuff and it's not about being held with honor by others. It's not about looking good. It's about being who you are. It's about serving you in such a way that folks would actually ask us about the hope that we have within us, that we could share that with them. Father, give us the opportunity this year to share your message, to share your love. And Father, help us to trust completely that you will be there and you will bless that. And Father, you'll change our hearts. And Father, through you, you allow us to change the world around us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, during the announcements, when Dave said that we would have a prayer service, Jillian leaned over and said, "That means you're not preaching." And I said, "Yes." And she went, "Yes." So I figure most of you felt the same way. But it has been good to be here today. And look forward to these times that we have throughout the year to gather to focus on prayer. Two things in closing. The first of those are, if you've not already started, part of this focus on prayer includes praying for your neighbors. All we're asking you to do is pick up a couple of cards, take those home with you. When you have a family meal and you pray, or maybe you just gather together to pray in the morning, pray for some of your neighbors. Hand them the card, drop it in the mail, it's up to you. Other ways you can do this, by the way, if you're going out to lunch today, take a card with you. Pray for your server. Leave a card on the table with a tip. A lot of things you can do with this. What we want more than anything else is for you to just to think about offering prayer for other people. It's truly one of the greatest ways you can practice kindness. is to pray for them and to take their name. And even if you don't know their name, to take them in spirit to God's throne. I thought about some of the things that Joe said this morning. For some reason, it called to mind the Tower of Babel for me. And one reason for that is that the Tower of Babel, and we'll talk about this in a couple weeks in one of our lessons, but at the Tower of Babel, one of the things they wanted was to stay right where they were and to develop a great name, become a great people. And they didn't want to spread. They just wanted to stay where they were. But God had told them to be fruitful and multiply and to spread across the earth. And they refused to do that. So God sent languages to force his will to be done. When you come to the New Testament, after Acts chapter 2, we see the same attitude with the early church. They really liked what they had in Jerusalem. Even though there's 16 different places represented there in Acts 2, they all stay there in Jerusalem because they really like what they have. One of the last things Jesus told was for the disciples to go and be fruitful and multiply and spread across the earth. And the early church didn't really want to do that. So God sent persecution. And suddenly they spread. And the gospel spread. I will tell you that I think the more I grow old, the more I think God is involved in ways I often don't understand. And looking back over our last year, I wonder if we didn't get close to the same thing. That as God's people today, we've all gotten really comfortable in our buildings. We've gotten really comfortable with our congregations the way they are. And even though God said, be fruitful and go multiply, we really like things the way they are. I'm not saying I know for sure, but I wonder sometimes if we weren't forced out of our buildings and out into the open and to practice things differently to remind us the real mission is to be fruitful and multiply, spiritually procreate. Fill the building and fill the building again. May we never be complacent with just being who we are in number, in spirit. May we always be willing to reach out to those that are around us. And there are those around us that are hurting, that are in need, and we can meet those. So the challenge as we leave this place this week is to look for those folks. Find the folks who need somebody to lift them up and to provide the justice in their time of injustice. Look for those folks who need mercy and show them what mercy looks like. Look for those people who need love that feel unloved. Look for the people who are surrounded by bad news and give them good news. Look for the people who don't know Jesus and share him with them.